The following program is presented by the Far East Broadcasting Company because stories of people living out the gospel with their lives inspire all of us. FEBC, taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. Learn more at febc.org.
I was really wrestling with, was this me making up this call or not? And I remember someone interviewing Tony Evans on the radio. He said, if the call, if it just doesn't go away, then heed the call.
When the call to serve Christ just doesn't go away. Welcome to First Person. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and we're going to speak with a man who placed his faith in the Lord in a remarkable turnaround in his life, and then heeded the call to become a pastor. Stay with us for the interview. It's amazing to hear the variety of personal stories we get to hear on First Person. Through the years, we've talked with hundreds of people, each with a little different circumstance that led them to faith and service to Jesus Christ. You can go back through our online archive and be encouraged as you listen. To download interviews to your smartphone or tablet, use our free smartphone app, which you'll find in your respective app store. Look for First Person Interview. We also have a Facebook page where you can learn more and interact with us and other listeners. Look for us at facebook.com/firstpersoninterview. We look forward to connecting with you. I met Art Georges a few years ago while we were both helping a local radio station near Peoria, Illinois, with an annual fundraiser. Art is a local pastor who loves teaching and preaching, and I thought you'd enjoy hearing his story of how the Lord has moved in his life.
Yeah, well, I didn't come to Christ till age 34, almost age 35. But I would say that the Lord gave me the aroma of himself throughout my life. I wasn't one of those unbelievers that didn't know that there was a God. I believed there was a God. I believed that I had to reckon with him in some way, shape, or form as when I died. But I also believed that that reckoning would be largely based on my performance. In saying that, I did believe that God was a gracious God who would grade on a curve. And so I kind of foresaw this time when I would face him and we would walk through my life and he would look at the intentions of the heart, not just what I did, right or wrong. But that didn't, even that knowledge didn't really keep me from living a somewhat ungodly life. Okay. I wasn't the worst person, but I wasn't really living in a way that you would expect a professing Christian to live.
And well, the view you're describing of God is the view that so many people have. You know this. Yeah. It's not unusual, is it?
Right. No, it isn't. And yet it's also a view that you're just hoping for the best. You know that he exists. So what happened, though, my wife came to Christ about a year and a half before I did. And we were a little dispirited by our attempts to draw near to God. And we made a move because of a job change that I took. And moved to Peoria, Illinois, from Bloomington, Illinois. And Mary Beth sought out a women's Bible study. And she liked it so much. It was at a Baptist church, Bethany Baptist Church in Peoria. Mm-hmm. And she liked it so much that she wanted to go that coming Sunday, which just sent me over the edge. I told her, no way.
Is that right?
My boys weren't going to be raised Baptist. I had two young boys at that point we did, and one was about five and one was about two and a half, and she took them. She she says very sweetly that she didn't know anything about wanting to honor her husband's opinions at that point. And so she took them, and I began over the next course of a couple weeks to notice a change in her and an excitement that I was envious of. And so I decided to accompany her one Sunday morning. And I was stunned by the teaching of the Word of God. This pastor would open up the Bible and everybody would open up their Bibles with him. And he would teach through a passage of Scripture. And my heart was enthralled by that. And that was what I had longed to hear and never experienced in a church. And over the course of about 4 months, I began to grow more and more convicted that even though I wanted to think I was a Christian at that point, I I concluded I wasn't. There was one particular point where he was teaching through the Gospel of Mark, and Jesus was dialoguing with these religious teachers. And I thought in my mind, you know what, this is crazy. These teachers, these religious people, are holding Jesus at arm's length because of pride. Hmm. And then I thought, I am they.
Wow.
And I began to realize, man, I need to deal with this, because I need to know that I have this relationship with Christ that this pastor is always talking about. And I always felt like when he was talking about salvation by grace alone, that he was talking to me. I mm-hmm. thought, you know, he knows I'm here and he knows I'm struggling with this. So finally, one afternoon, I went in to see him, and I thought, you know, my view, I didn't know as much scripture as I ought to have. And I did know this one passage where the Apostle Paul said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Okay.
And that was my justification, that indeed you had to have good works to get to heaven. Mm. So I asked him, I said, if you could prove to me that this same Apostle Paul believed that salvation was got by grace alone through faith alone, then I could believe this. And I am still, as a pastor, waiting for that person to come into my office that makes salvation or conversion such an easy assistance by my hand. And he took me to Ephesians 2:8-9, which you know well, and many of your listeners probably know as well. But it said exactly what I wanted him to prove that Paul was saying.
Well, why don't you read it right now?
It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast.
So you teed it up for that pastor, didn't you?
I did. And he read that, and I looked at him, and I thought, you know, it was almost anticlimactic at that point. Hmm. I said, oh, well, we better pray then. And we prayed, and I received Christ that day. And here's really kind of a neat after part or after story of that. My wife, this was in February of 97, my wife had gotten me a Bible, a Ryrie Study Bible for Christmas of 96, because she got tired of me looking over her shoulder at her Bible. And so I went home to savor those verses, and I looked at verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And I thought, oh my, I thought I was going to get up there and try to show God what I had done.
Yeah.
And he was going to say, yeah, I know, I set those things up for you. It was sort of like the alley-oop in basketball. When someone slam dunks the ball, they point back at the one who assisted them made the pass.
It's like your name was written there along with the scripture.
Oh, yeah.
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 It was tailor-made for you, wasn't it?
Yes, it was and it is. It's sort of my life verse. Because then, at that point, it was sort of thinking through those works that God had prepared for me in the future, and what did he want for me?
Mm-hmm.
Mary Beth and I were both baptized about a month later, and I started preaching that morning. I think I took about 20 minutes from the service, and I'm kind of embarrassed now. But then a month later, this missionary came, and he preached a message on giving your life to Christian ministry. And Mary Beth and I left that service feeling like we needed to hurry and decide, because everyone that heard that message were going to rush to the available ministry opportunities.
Yeah.
And we stood in our kitchen and said, okay, what does God have for us? And it was
You realize now that it was the Holy Spirit who was wooing you, right?
Yeah. I do now. In the moment, I sort of thought it was my own kind of spirituality that was finally cultivated to the point where I believed. I even had some pride about it, because I just really started growing, and there was this pride that started to build up.
Yeah.
But then I came across all these passages that indicated that God began this good work, and he was going to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus.
And how precious that you and your wife at the same time came to this decision.
Yeah.
That really had to lay a foundation for you and your marriage and all these years later, right?
Yeah. In fact, you're going to, it brings tears to my eyes when I think about that, Wayne, because I know that there are marriages where that doesn't happen quite as seamlessly. And God was gracious, not that he's not gracious to those households where that doesn't happen so quickly. But it reminds you of Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 7 that when there's a believer in a household and an unbeliever, the household's sanctified because of the believer. And Paul would say to the believing wife, your husband is sanctified because of your faith. That doesn't mean that he's saved, or in the other case, a wife is saved because of a believing husband, but it means that they now come under the special grace of having faith in the household and having it lived out before the unbelieving spouse. And that certainly was the case.
A great encouragement to many, I'm sure. We'll continue talking with Art Georges coming up in a moment on First Person.
I'm Ed Cannon. The Far East Broadcasting Company partners with First Person because we celebrate the stories of people everywhere who have given their lives to Christ and serve Him. Our broadcasters in 50 countries of the world hear stories every day of people whose lives are transformed by the gospel and who have faithfully been taught God's Word. In addition to First Person, I'm pleased that Wayne and I host a podcast, and we invite you to join us. Listen to Until All Have Heard at febc.org. That's febc.org.
My guest is Pastor Art Georges of Living Hope Community Church in Bartonville, Illinois, just outside of Peoria, Illinois. We've had an opportunity a couple of times to connect there in the community, and I've heard bits and pieces of your story, Art, and I was just looking forward to being able to share it with listeners today. It's always exciting to me to see how the Lord brings people to Himself, and you've got one of those stories. Now, you started to talk about this missionary coming and challenging you to Christian ministry. At the time, you were in the secular marketplace. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
That can be the calling for many people. But,
right. That's absolutely right.
But you weren't satisfied with that.
No, and neither was my wife, which I think is key to understanding our calling, because if she had been more hesitant, and I might not have been as secure in what I thought God was calling me to, but because we were both sensing that the Lord was calling us to full-time ministry, we needed to figure out what that looked like.
And yeah, and reminder, you're in your 30s, mid-30s at this point.
Yep, that's right. And shortly after I came to Christ, I turned 35, and I was working as an actuary in the insurance field, and actually loved my job, loved my work. But once I felt that calling to ministry, it began to diminish my my passion for what I was doing. I think of D.L. Moody and how, you know, he would say the same thing, that once he got that call, he didn't want to continue to be that shoe salesman, yeah, which was probably a more lofty profession back then. So I began to, I felt like maybe it was pastoral ministry, and largely because I so appreciated how this pastor, Rich Burkle, was unfolding God's word on each Sunday. And so, but I was worried that I was placing him on a pedestal rather than what the Lord wanted for me. So I began to explore that calling, and I would go down to a mission, a women's rescue mission, and preach monthly, and I was really bad. And every time I'd write a message, I thought, oh, this is going to be so good. And it just wasn't what it needed to be. And I knew I needed training.
Yeah.
So we began to plot where that would be.
Okay. All right. Again, this is just one of those simple stories of faith that just is so moving and so needed to be told. Art, you understand that. I'm sure you see people come to you in similar circumstances, but I'm so grateful you would talk with us about these things. So here you are, mid-30s, you've got a family, at least two children at this point, right?
Two children.
You've ended up with five now through the years. But
By God's grace.
But, you know, you've got responsibility as a husband and a father to provide for your family, and you decide this radical move of Christian ministry. What steps did you take? How did you pray? How were you led?
Well, yeah, I ask others to pray alongside of me, too, and I ask for the confirmation of the leaders in my church, because I didn't want to step out on my own strength. I knew it would fail. And where the Lord actually finally led us was to load up the truck and move to Beverly, or at least close to there, Southern California, Beverly Hills, not far from Beverly Hills.
I think I've heard that song, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And we moved out to the Los Angeles area, and I attended the Master's Seminary, which was such a rich experience. What a great experience, especially for someone that's preparing for what I thought the Lord was calling me to.
So you must have been independently wealthy to make a move like that.
No. In fact, I remember going out and thinking, Lord, I don't even know how this is supposed to work. I don't have enough money to make it through 1 year out here. And I remember looking at these mountains surrounding that area in Southern California, and it was as if I was hearing the Lord say, wait, do you see those mountains? I made those. I can do this if you trust me. And it was sort of the sense that I was getting, the Lord was challenging me to trust him, because if I couldn't trust him with the next 3 years of seminary, how could I trust him in ministry? Mm. And also I realized that the great job that I had, the Lord could cause it to go away if I was not willing to, you know, if he wanted to get me in ministry and I was resisting that. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, okay, this is going to be an exciting journey to trust the Lord.
So tell me is one or two of those stories of provision then. There must have been some miracles along the way.
There were. So shortly after we left, our church family sort of rallied around that cause and began to help us monthly.
This is the church back in Peoria.
Yeah, back in Peoria, without any sense that we were coming back, which we ended up coming back, but there was no guarantee on that from either side. We just wanted to do what the Lord was taking us to. But I also then took a job that was 11 till 6 in the morning. And yeah, it sounded crazy, but I thought, okay, I need to provide for my family. It's going to give me health care. And it was at the Master's College as a security officer. And I thought, you know, I did this in undergrad. I worked midnights to get through undergrad. And so I thought, okay, I can do this. The Lord will help. Well, the miracle of that was that not only did it give us, we had our third child out there, and it cost us like $250, you know, which we have never been able to do normally. And also, I had an illness that hospitalized me, and the hospitalization did not wreck us because of this small job that gave us insurance that mm-hmm. the Lord knew we needed. So,
yeah,
just amazing things.
Right. So here you are in seminary, young father, and preparing for ministry, relatively new to the faith at this point, right?
Yeah, I went to seminary after 2.5 years in the faith.
Yeah. Did you have to convince them to let you in the seminary, being so young in the faith?
You know what? I don't think so. We had some good recommendations from our church leaders, but I do remember, this is a great story. I told the head of admissions. He said, "Well, do you have any concerns?" I said, "Well, I'm a little concerned. You know, like the Israelites went in to the wilderness, and I'm a little worried that I'm taking my family into the wilderness." And he said, "Well, remember, their children were the only ones that came out." Like, trust the Lord. Don't put yourself in that position. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. So
I know how much you appreciate the education, biblical education you got there at Masters.
Yeah, it was amazing, and it was the life on life of men that loved the Word and women that poured into my wife as well.
Lifelong relationships formed there?
Yeah, yes. And we had a great church family. We finally landed at a church called Placerita Baptist Church, where Philip DeCourcy, mm-hmm. whom I believe you know.
Yep, I work with Philip now.
Pastor. Mm-hmm. Yep. And they gave me an opportunity to do an internship. And so I got great experience. And it was just, and we came back came back being called to plant a church for the home church that send us out.
Okay, so the church that you really started from, Bethany in Peoria, they supported you in seminary without any guarantee that you would come back to the area.
Right.
But upon completion of education, you did come back and planted a church roughly in the Peoria area.
Yep,
with the blessing of Bethany.
Yes, and with the help. In fact, we took about 100 people, about 30 families, from Bethany that lived in the area or were willing to commute, because it was a bedroom community. It's really in a corridor of Peoria. And so they were excited about the gospel call to start a new work. And so it was a really sweet season of just seeing the Lord work in many ways to start a new work.
Most church plants, I think I'm accurate in saying this, most don't survive. What made the difference?
First of all, it was that help with families. Because when you seed a church plant with a healthy group of families, we were literally self-sustaining from day one.
Okay.
Because we had a giving base, and our needs were small. We were renting a space, and so basically they were supporting me and the rental, and we just began to make our presence known in this new community, spreading the gospel, and God was very gracious. It was all, you know, whether they survive or not, if you survive, it's still a blessing from the Lord.
And how many years ago was that you started?
So that was 18, almost 19 years ago.
Okay, here's the other unusual thing, and that is that you have remained pastor all these years.
Yes, yeah.
This is a calling in your life, and you haven't received a notice from the Lord to go anywhere else, obviously.
No, and we've had a very sweet group of people. We're about 200 strong now, one of the things I think that's led to my endurance is that when people came, and this is, I'm kind of saying this in tongue-in-cheek, so understand, but when people came, they thought that I was part of the deal, and so if they didn't like me, then they just didn't stay. No one tried to get rid of me.
I see. Okay. Well, Art, no doubt someone is listening, and maybe they're struggling with a salvation issue that the Lord led you to faith in Christ. Maybe that's the issue in their life, or maybe they're past salvation, and they placed their faith in Christ, and now it's an issue of struggling with their call. Learning what you've learned, what would you say to that listener? No doubt there's someone right now who's listening to this thinking, what do I do next, Lord?
Well, I was right where they were, and I was really wrestling with, was this me making up this call or not? And I remember someone interviewing Tony Evans on the radio when I was trying to figure this out. And so it was a gift to me and perhaps others that maybe this will be. He said, if it just doesn't go away, then heed the call. So that's to the one who's wrestling with this. And then take the testimony of those like me who say, man, God was faithful, and I didn't know how it was going to work, but that's when he can work the best. If I had planned out the 3 years and how I was going to survive financially, I would have been less trusting in God's providence, and his providence reigned greatly through those 3 years.
Lessons from the life of our guest, Art Georges, pastor of Living Hope Community Church in Bartonville, Illinois. I hope you were encouraged as you listen to Art's story of, first of all, coming to faith in Christ, then obediently following the call to seminary and to the pastorate. Your calling may be different, but the spiritual principles are the same. To listen again or to share this program, visit firstpersoninterview.com. To download this interview, use our free smartphone app, First Person Interview, from your app store. And a special thank you to the Far East Broadcasting Company for supporting First Person. FEBC is a ministry I love to serve and hope you'll take some time to learn more. You can listen to our daily radio show, FEBC Today, and our podcast, Until All Have Heard, at febc.org. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer, Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Thanks for listening to First Person.